Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. This is Dr. John Kreutz. And today I want to give you some insight into, in my mind, one of the funniest theological words. It is just so ironic. The word perspicuity, and it refers to the Bible. What does the word perspicuity mean? What a funny, bizarre word. Well, the irony is that the word refers to clarity. In other words, this word that seems so strange shows us that the Bible is clear. Now, what does that mean? And more specifically, what does that mean to us? I found a Bible dictionary, the Baker Compact Dictionary of Theological Terms. Greg Allison, who is a professor of theology at Southern Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, he has a great definition of the perspicuity of Scripture. He says, it's a property of Scripture whereby it is clear and thus comprehensible to all Christians who possess the normal acquired ability to read texts or understand oral communication when Scripture is read to them. This clarity is true regardless of their gender, age, education, language, or cultural background. Though it does not mean Scripture is necessarily easy to understand. This doctrine is affirmed in the context of the church, to which God has given pastors and teachers to assist members in better understanding Scripture. Moreover, its clarity means that unbelievers can gain some cognition of Scripture in general. So, there we have it, the clarity of Scripture, the perspicuity of Scripture. Now, it does require a couple of things. Dr. Allison brought this out, and I think that it's exactly right. You do need to be able to read for the Bible to be clear and to be clearly understood. So that's important. Sometimes we say to be a good Bible reader, you just need to be a good reader. The Bible is a normal, regular book. It uses the regular means. In other words, if you're in a genre of Scripture that is narrative and it's telling history or telling a story, well, you need to be able to kind of track with kind of the beginning, middle, and end, and where's there the conflict, where's there the resolution to the story. When the Bible gives you poetry, it's good to have some insight into, all right, he's going to be using a few figures of speech and pictures, metaphors in his language to convey things. When the Scripture is just giving us a letter, like, for example, from Paul to a New Testament church, you need to be able to track with the letter. And of course, we're not discounting some knowledge of the historical situation is a great help in helping us to understand and interpret the Bible. But the important takeaway for us is this book, the Bible, is not a mystery book. It's not a book that you can't possibly understand. No, the perspicuity of Scripture means it is clear. The main things are clear enough for you to be able to figure out and sort it out. Now, I do want to make a qualification that Dr. Allison, I don't know that he made it explicitly, was that for Christians, we have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to help us to understand and apply his word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Bible says the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are also spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself judged by no one. So Dr. Allison pointed out that unbelievers can gain some cognition of Scripture in general in his definition of perspicuity. And I agree with that. In fact, you think of some of the commentaries of the Bible I have on my shelves, and it's kind of questionable whether that person is really even a believer. They've spent all their lives digging into the details of Scripture, the historical situation of Scripture. They give insights into the original languages that the Bible was written in, and yet they don't believe it. And so there's definitely going to be some things they understand, but there's also going to be some holes in their understanding. And we've seen this, haven't we, just in our experience. You share Scripture with an unbelieving friend, and they just don't get it. It doesn't make sense. It's almost like there's a wall in their mental abilities, but it's not a mental issue. It's a spiritual issue. You know, Romans 1 talks about how unbelievers suppress the truth in unrighteousness. I mean, if you have a little traitor in your brain and in your heart trying to push down the truth, there's going to be a disconnect. There's going to be areas that they just don't get. And so sometimes that comes out in just their plain Scripture reading. But they can get some things because the Bible is clear. I remember talking to an unbeliever one time, and he acted as if, oh, I couldn't possibly understand what you even mean by the Bible. It's just so mysterious. And I compared it to reading the newspaper, and he was a little bit offended, as if reading the newspaper is just a thing of earth. I guess I should define newspaper right for you guys that are in the younger generations. They used to have these things, and they'd have stories and sports. And when I was a kid, you'd have to go to the newspaper the next day to find out if your favorite baseball team won the game. Now it's sort of instant, of course, and so much is online. You can find out information like that. But this guy was offended. He's like, no, the newspaper is just normal reading. And I was like, well, you should read your Bible like that. Just assume that it's going to be normal and you're going to understand it. And of course, when the Holy Spirit comes to open a person's heart, then they get it, then they believe it. And we're so thankful for it. Another qualification that Dr. Allison made in his definition of perspicuity was that the Scriptures are given to us in the context of the church. And I appreciate that clarification because there are several places in the Scripture which make clear reference to teachers, God giving gifted teachers to the church, and so that we can be helped in our understanding of the Word of God. So in Ephesians chapter 4, when we see kind of this great vision of every member ministry in the church, chapter 4 of Ephesians, beginning with verse 11, and he, in the context, we see that's Jesus, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Now, Jesus gave the apostles and prophets as foundational gifts to the church to establish things, to reveal Scripture. What we have now is the Scripture. But even today, the Lord Jesus gives evangelists and pastors and teachers. That last category is kind of a double, but they really go together, pastor teachers. Pastors teach and shepherd the flock by teaching the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians 12, in list of spiritual gifts, teaching is a gift of the Spirit. And we're so thankful for that. So never think, oh, well, yeah, just because the scriptures are clear and I have the Holy Spirit, I don't need any teacher. I can understand this thing just as well as everyone else. Well, we know that there are some difficult matters in the scripture, and we need teachers. We are so helped by teachers. Even though the Holy Spirit illuminates our minds and hearts to get the main things, we need teachers, and we love it in the context of the church where we're being taught the Word of God week in and week out by faithful ministers. Well, we have to take a break. We've seen so far this funniest word in theology, theological circles, perspicuity, actually means clarity. And when it comes to the Word of God, the main things are clear. When we come back from our break, we want to apply that. We want to see some evidence of some exceptions to that. But we want to consider what the perspicuity of Scripture means for you and for me.
All right, folks, we'll be back in just a moment with more from Dr. John Krotz and his deep dive into the perspicuity of Scripture. We're talking about how clear God's Word is, and sometimes we just overcomplicate stuff, don't we? And one resource in particular that helps uncomplicate things, A.W. Pink's The Sovereignty of God. And I know what you're thinking. Oh, great. Gotta recommend another dusty old theology book. Trust me on this. Pink's not messing around. He tackles all of the big questions that we wrestle with from time to time, and he does it in a way that'll light a fire under you. A.W. Pink's The Sovereignty of God. It's available now at FortisInstitute.org. And while you're there, could I interest you in becoming a Fortis Insider? As a Fortis Insider, you're going to get daily doses of biblical wisdom delivered straight to your inbox. This is meat and potato stuff that is going to help you navigate this brave new world that we are now living in. So sign up to become a Fortis Insider and get all of the details about all of the new content that we're delivering every single day. Content that will be delivered on the Fortis Plus app. It's like having a biblical worldview toolkit right in your pocket. I'm talking about hundreds of hours of free audio and video content, 7 new posts every single day. You're going to get my daily news feature. You're going to get hot takes from our fellows. You're going to get special director's cuts from our fellows director, Jason. You're going to get all of the new podcasts from our fellows. And did I mention it's all free? That's right. Listen, in a world that seems to be going off the rails quickly, we've got to be grounded in God's unchanging truth right now more than ever. And that's why we are committed here at Fortis Institute and not compromising. We're committed to standing firm on Scripture, even when it's not popular. And we want you to be a part of this mission. If you believe in what we're doing, would you prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Your support allows us to continue producing all of this solid biblical content and reach more people with God's Word all over the world. Together, we can make a real impact for the kingdom of God. You can find out more information right now at FortisInstitute.org. Oh, and before I forget, I want to mention Gary Varvel's cartoons. These things are absolutely hilarious. This guy is pumping out weekly cartoons just for Fortis Institute. And I've got to be honest, I'll never admit to saying this, but they're funnier than any dad joke I've ever told. Yeah, I said it, and you can see for yourself right now at FortisInstitute.org. All right, now let's get back to Dr. John Krotz and the perspicuity of Scripture. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It's more than being a knower of the truth. It has to be knowing and doing.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Krotz.
Welcome back to Integrated. Today I have helped you, if you were here for our first segment, to win at Bible trivia, to baffle your friends with your theological knowledge and insight, because you learned that the definition of the perspicuity of Scripture is the clarity of Scripture. The main things are plain things. You can understand them. We've seen that that happens in the context of the church and includes gifted teachers. We've seen that that also involves the Holy Spirit illuminating our hearts and minds to understand the Scripture. But the scripture's written plainly. And if you have the Word of God in your language, you should be a Bible reader. You should read it and think about it and just read it like you would read any other normal book. And yet you're trying to work to be a careful reader, to pay attention to the details, and to make application of God's Word into your life. Now, I told you that some things in the Bible are still hard. We saw that when we saw that the Holy Spirit gives gifted teachers to the church to help us understand the Bible even better. But for preachers and for just Bible readers, I think one of our favorite verses is tucked in at the end of 2 Peter, when Peter makes this confession as he's talking to his audience in 2 Peter 3:15. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. Now, stop right there. Just a little side note. This is a wonderful verse to demonstrate that the writings of Paul were considered by Peter Scripture. He said that unbelievers and false teachers, the ignorant and unstable, are twisting these things as they do the other scriptures. So Peter, the apostle, the rock, he said Paul's writings are Bible. And they knew that even during the time of the Bible. Don't ever be misled by so-called scholars who tell you, oh, it was years later, hundreds of years later, that they just kind of made up what was scripture and what wasn't and kind of piecemealed a Bible together. Now, it is a fascinating story how we got our modern Bibles, but the Bible is certainly during the New Testament, individual letters were written to individual churches and they were copied and traded around among the early Christians, but even in the first century, they were already saying, wow, no, this is the stuff. This is inspired by God. This is authoritative. This is sufficient. We need to read these words publicly to the church. We need to put them into practice. All right. Now, our point wasn't actually to talk about the pulling together of the scriptures or the inspiration of Paul's writings included as scripture. The point for our discussion of perspicuity was that Peter said, there are some things in them that are hard to understand, which we go, wow, that is so encouraging because I also think some of these things are hard to understand. So thank you, Peter. But we also have to add, Peter, you know, when we get to heaven, we'll let him in on this. Some of the things you wrote were awfully hard to understand as well. So perspicuity, the clarity of scripture, doesn't mean that everything is automatically easy. We have to work at it. We have to think about the scripture. Sometimes we compare one scripture with another one. It's always a good practice if you've got two scriptures and one is more plain than the other one to interpret the hard one in light of the plain one, because we want to keep the main things, the plain things. We want to understand, and God's not trying to trick us. What would be the opposite of perspicuity? I was thinking about that. How can we better understand what the Bible is and what it's not? Well, let's flip it around. What is it not? The Bible is not like those treasure maps that you see on TV shows and movies that are mysterious, and you've got the treasure hunters who find the map and spend all of their time searching for clues within the map? And is there any invisible ink? And what does this symbol mean? And how can we find the treasure? But you think about the desperation of, you know, Nicolas Cage or whoever the actor is, you know, they're doing whatever it takes to interpret this map and to find the hidden treasure because it's all going to be worth it. I was thinking about, why is it that treasure maps are like that? And then it dawned on me, they make these maps so that they know where the treasure is, but that if the bad guys find it, or people they would consider bad guys, they won't be able to sort it out, and they'll end up having to make movies about their efforts to finally find the great treasure at the end of the map. Well, the Bible isn't like that. The Holy Spirit is not trying to trick you. He's not trying to keep the truth of the gospel from you. He's got it right down on the bottom shelf for you to be able to get and understand. But that doesn't mean we don't have to work hard. That doesn't mean we don't have to think about it and pull out books and maybe listen to gifted teachers teach on this passage so that we can understand it better, better and better. When I think about the treasure map, it reminds me of images that the Bible itself talks about for itself. So we said that the Bible is not like a treasure map. It's clear. It's right there for you. And yet the Bible promises treasure to those who seek it out and to understand and apply its meaning. Listen to several scriptures. Psalm 19, verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Now he's talking about the laws of God, the testimonies of God, the precepts of God. More to be desired are they, that is, the truths of the Bible, than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, the drippings of the honeycomb. Wow, how much do you want a pot of gold? Gold's really increased in value these last years. Wouldn't it have been great to have got a literal pot of gold 20 years ago? How much would that pot of gold be worth today? That would be incredible. Well, the Bible is more to be desired than gold. Yeah, but what about if it was fine gold? Even much fine gold. And you think of all the sweeteners we have today, and whether they're artificial sweeteners or sugar or whatever, what did they have in the Bible? They had honey. And if you had honey, that had natural sweetness, and that made things taste good. Well, the Bible is sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb, according to the psalmist. Now, in the longest chapter of the Bible, Psalm 119, which is all about describing the psalmist's attitude toward Scripture, there are several references which show us just how valuable this book is. Psalm 119, verse 72, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Psalm 119, 127 says, therefore, I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold. Down in verse 131, he says, I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. And in Proverbs, Solomon, as he's telling his son, trying to motivate his son, you got to understand how important the Bible is. In Proverbs 8, 10 and 11, he says, take my instruction instead of silver and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than jewels, for all that you may desire cannot compare with her. This is incredible. My fruit, Proverbs 8, 19 says, is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. That's wisdom. That's the wisdom that Scripture gives. My friends, the Bible is clear, the perspicuity of Scripture, and it is worth it. But I don't want you just to read it to fill your mind with Bible facts. James is so clear that we're not just to be hearers of the word, but we're to be doers of God's word. So take God's clear word, be motivated to dig out its treasure and put it into practice in your life.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Kreutz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Kreutz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.